What's going on, guys? Welcome back to The Millennial Wave. This is episode 18, and I'm your host, Rachel. Today, I have with me someone very, very dear to my heart. We got Coach T in the building, aka Terrence. He is a coach, he's a mentor, he is a business owner, and best of all, he's my uncle. So I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. Thanks for coming
on. Thanks for having me.
You are a hard man to get in the studio.
All you have to do is set a date and I'm here.
I know. I reached out like a few times, but some of them were a little last minute. But I'm really thankful that you were able to come on.
Thanks for having me.
And it's been a while.
Yes.
I know, I miss you too. I haven't seen you in
You're the only hardest working person other than myself.
Oh, really?
You work harder than me.
Really?
You are always on the go.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I feel like sometimes I get down on myself just because I'm like, I want to do more. I want to be more. And sometimes, you know, we kind of get into that little funk, our own mind, and we're like, well, what else can I do? Like, how can I continue to grow? And sometimes I don't feel that, you know, that moment where I'm like, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm on the path that I should be. I just need that little reminder sometimes from myself or from other people. It's, you know, it's one of those things.
As long as you keep growing, you're all right.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep going. Don't let anyone set limits for you.
Yeah.
You take it where you want to go.
Yeah.
And when you get there, go again.
Absolutely.
And when you get there, go again.
I love it. And that's why I'm excited to talk to you too, because you're someone that I've seen since I started going to, well, Intercom, which is where I went to high school. And I met you probably the first year. I mean, I know I met you the first year I started going there, but I don't know how close I got with you until my senior year. I feel like I got closer. Or
probably more like
summer.
Summer going junior year, because your junior year is when you guys start doing like the team management stuff with.
Really? Junior year?
That's probably your junior year.
Oh, because I started going to Intercom junior year. That's when I first started going. I didn't go there all 4 years.
You took off right away. It didn't take you long.
Yeah.
I remember Pooter bringing you over.
Oh my gosh.
Because he played on our 2014 class. That was what really set us off and
took us to a different level.
You were coming to our tournaments.
I know. I remember.
Like
I loved it. I loved it.
It was day one.
That's the thing. I've always loved being involved and then also seeing kind of the sports aspect, because for myself, I know that when I was living in Washington, one of the biggest things that helped me wasn't just the fact that I was a part of sports, was the fact that I had a coach that cared.
Right.
I had someone to kind of help me, guide me, keep me out of trouble, which is something that I got a lot in my freshman year of high school.
Imagine that.
No, well, that's, I don't know, could you imagine that?
What do
you
think?
Really? Oh, if only you knew. If only you knew. And freshman year of high school was just a fucking mess. Like, it was the worst time I'd probably, like, been through, like, home life-wise or, like, school-wise, grades, everything. But sophomore year, I was at, like, open gym, and long story short, a basketball coach came up to me, and he's like, hey, like, you know, you have a good shot, why don't you trying out for the basketball team? I was like, okay, you know, whatever, like, what do I have to do? And then he kind of showed me, he taught me the ropes, and he absolutely changed my life.
Right.
So, and unfortunately, I don't live in Washington anymore, but he's still out there. He's actually the head coach for the girls' basketball team now, which he was not when I first met him. He was just an assistant coach for, like, just basketball overall. Like, he'd just come and he'd help.
Assistant coaches is what structures our program, though.
And he is just he's such an incredible mind. That's why I appreciate like coaches that care and that really want to see their players advance in life, not just sports.
Right.
So that's why I'm excited to have you on, because I've seen what you've done with TMP and just Intercom as a school and the type of impact that you've had on the players, on the students, on everyone. So I'm really excited to kind of hear like what led you into the world of sports, because I don't know too much about your earlier life. You've taught me some life lessons from stories of your past, but I want to hear how it all kind of came about, if you don't mind.
Right. So it probably came about, so even like when I was younger, growing up when I was in high school, or when I was even younger than high school, I learned to coach sports. I worked in community centers and things like that. And doing those things, just learned to become a natural leader. So being a natural leader in life and not a follower, it just kind of puts you on a path to, if you have a love, which I have a love for sports, not even just football, basketball, baseball, a lot of different sports. Probably one of my favorite sports is lacrosse. People would not know that.
No, not at all.
I love to watch lacrosse. I love to go watch my players play lacrosse. And I also love to play ping pong. But in my community service, working in like community centers and stuff like that, I played ping pong like every Monday and Wednesday night with like older guys who were like professional ping pong players.
Oh my god. So I'm pretty good too. So wow. I wouldn't want to see you at a ping pong match.
I love it. So that's just how I kind of got started doing those things. And growing up coaching, I was like a teenager, and I remember coaching like early teens in basketball, like before AAU basketball was going. I started coaching back then. And then from there, I also coached a flag football team. And I was an early teen. I was grabbing guys in the community and mm-hmm. coaching them. I also remember probably one of my best memories was like a summer youth job I had in Richmond. I grew up in Richmond down the road. Been here in Sacramento since 02. I had like a 15 and under boys baseball team. Mm-hmm. And I used to have to pick those guys up and get them there because they were in the community. They were inner city kids. And I was driving around. I was a teenager picking those teenagers up to go to tournaments in the summer. So I started off coaching many, many years ago. And then as I grew to Sacramento, what made me get into coaching football, ironically, it was something, it was tragedy who what actually brought me into coaching. So I was at a young guy who, I was like a mentor to him. He was a friend of one of my brothers. And I met him at a point in his life where he needed to have someone positive in his life. And he was murdered. Mm-hmm. And when he was murdered, I went to his funeral. His name was, we called him Bam. And he liked to be called Big, but his name was Melvin Smith, Melvin Ray Smith. So we called him Bam. So if anybody in Richmond, shout out to Bam, RIP. We miss you, homie. My little bro. So we went to Bam's funeral, and I saw a couple guys who I grew up with from years before that, and they were like, hey, you live in Natomas? I was like, yes. And they're like, hey, tomorrow we're going to have a meeting at Roundtable. There's a new high school opening, Endercombe High School, and we're going to start a youth program there. And he knew or whatever that I had a son that was that age to play youth football. Mm-hmm. So as I did that, we had a meeting that next day, and I saw him at the funeral. Like, so that's where I saw him.
Yeah.
The next night, we had a meeting for the Endercombe Junior Tigers, what is now the Endercombe Junior Tigers. So me and these other two guys were at the meeting. We became the founders of the Endercombe Junior Tigers.
And how old were you this time?
I was,
because you said you came into Bam's life and you were like that positive light, correct?
I was that positive role
were you
model
still?
I was, so this was 02.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Endercombe opened in what, 2004?
Yeah, Endercombe opened.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I was, and believe it or not, like, I've been around Endercombe so long, they didn't even know what color the school was going to be. Like, how we ended up being blue and gold, they thought they were going to be like black and orange. Like, I went to a meeting at the school district, like, hey, let's pick these colors. We're trying to get our uniforms together. Like, I don't know. Like, what color would be good for what? We're the Tigers. What color would be good?
Yeah.
And no one thought blue and gold Tiger, like, right?
Yeah. No, I would never thought.
Yeah. So I go way back to that. And it all started from losing someone. And believe it or not, tragedy and things like that are often what structure our lives. And so for me, that was one of the things, just getting with some guys, and we were all like on the same thing, wanting to help our kids, and we moved to Sacramento away from Richmond, try to get our kids out of the inner city life, moved to Natomas, and we started that youth football thing, and we ended up joining the league where we would actually go back and play against the Richmond Steelers and the Berkeley Cougars and Oakland Dynamites, people that coaching that state where I grew up, they were coaching guys there, and we ended up playing against those teams. And from there, I did that for like maybe 3-4 years. And I went and talked to our current head coach, Coach Stark, who I consider to be a mentor for me.
Wow.
I asked him, hey, like, man, I'm ready to leave this situation and grow, and I want to coach football. So I became an assistant coach on the freshman team under Coach Lawrence, who's still at Endercombe.
Yeah.
So when I talk about assistant coaches, you structure the program and you help build the program and the foundation. And you put like your core beliefs into the program. You can't just survive with just the head guy or the general manager or whatever. So I did that. And then I became the offensive coordinator. And time flies so much. We do so many different things. Probably about 6 years ago or something, I became the JV head coach. we've been very successful, and a lot of guys have come through our program and come through our lives. And one of our former players actually coaches on my staff now and things like that.
Really? From Intercom?
Yeah, from Intercom. Who? Yeah, Taylor Maxwell.
Taylor, what year did?
Taylor graduated in like 2010.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know that.
Weren't there? Yeah. So I coached him, mm-hmm. and some other guys. Just, we've also had some other guys who graduate and come back and coach and stuff like that and help out. Just want to give back, and that's what coaching is. It's giving back, and it's talking about life experiences and developing people. And the reason I really, truly enjoy coaching the JV level and the freshman level and things like that, we're at a pivotal point in their life where just things we can say to them and show them and life experiences we can give them, they actually trust and believe in it and don't just sweep it to the side and say, okay, yeah, I got you, coach, and then move on and go do whatever. We tried to play a role where they can think about, before they make that action, whether it be good or bad, what would Coach T think? What would Coach T say?
Yeah.
And or, I ride their ass too. I'm probably like a big people's coach, player's coach, but when you're not doing it the right way, oh, I get on you. I treat everybody the same. No harder or no nicer on anyone. It doesn't matter if you're the star or if you just play a role on the team. So that's kind of where my coaching background came from. I've been coaching for years, a long time, yeah. You know what I mean? I was a teenager coaching.
Yeah.
Playing and coaching.
That's crazy. And one of the things that you mentioned, though, is the leadership aspect.
Yes.
And how you literally find yourself acting in a leadership role in anything that you're doing regarding, like, coaching, and you have to mm-hmm. learn how to adapt that. So what are some of the things that you've learned that make up a good leader?
Someone who can make decisions and someone who can walk the line and be able to speak to all people. You have to be able to talk to different people and relate to all people. And for us as a coach, I'm just kind of talking about a coach right now. You're going to have different people from different backgrounds. You're going to have different people of different skill levels. And to be able to relate to each and every one of them, whether it's through music, whether it's through conversation, whether it's through whatever, but have them trust and believe in you. And I just try to tell them that they're leaders, they're kings, and whatever, you know, that's what works for me.
And I feel like when I hear you talk about, like, having to relate to all different types of people, people are so different. And what's, like, the main thing that you look for when you're having a conversation? How do you find that common ground? How are you able to relate with so many different types of people? To me, that seems somewhat difficult. It is difficult.
Yeah.
So how do you find that common ground with different people and the kids and the parents and the other coaches and, you know what I mean?
Stay away from parents.
Stay away from parents.
Because the parents, they're only self-serving. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty much interested in what you can do for their kids. And believe it or not, when you find the parents that aren't, you'll gravitate to them. And the way you find out they're not is just by a conversation. When the conversation is about how we can grow, how we can develop all these players, or what's the plan for these guys, not what do you think of my son? Mm-hmm. How good is my son? Because if generally, like, you're actually probably only as good as you can make everybody around you. And that just comes from a leadership thing as well. I'm only as good as the people that I can put around me. Because that's actually my structure. That's actually my glue. I'm just the piece that everything is glued to.
Mm-hmm. So how do you surround yourself? What kind of people do you surround yourself with? Why do you try to surround yourself with certain types of people and repel the other ones?
Yeah, so I think it just comes from people gravitate to people who they feel that they can be successful around. It's all through conversations. I'm all about relationships. Some of them good, some of them bad, but I'm mm-hmm. all about relationships.
Yeah.
And and from my background growing up, somehow it's like this big gumbo pot where, you know, like small family, but big family structure around you. So everybody's family. If you just treat them like their family, everybody wants to be in the family. That's why we haven't even really talked about TMP yet, but that's why TMP is TMP Mafia. Like, we're the biggest group of guys around, and it's all about athletes who are going to school and take over colleges and take over the field, take over programs, and just do big things there. And it's like, most of them will be the best players, but even if they're not, they're going to be the best people.
I love that. And let's go ahead and jump into that then, because TMP Mafia,
there we go.
That's something that that's like your baby.
That's my baby.
That's like your pinnacle, right? Yeah, I love it. And that's completely set aside from Intercom.
But we end up getting some players from and stuff like that. But we our goal is not to just go get Intercom guys. Our goal is to build this pot of gumbo.
Yeah.
To get guys. And sometimes it's good and it's bad for us. We get guys from all over Northern California. We've even had some guys from out of state. Consistently every year we get a couple guys from out of state. And it's our pot of gumbo. And we've developed a pipeline to get the best players in Northern California in our program every year. Since the year of class of 2013, if you are a guy in the football field as an athlete, you're expected to be with TMP. Because you know what that means. You're going D1.
Mm. So tell them a little bit about TMP and what you guys kind of do with the players and what it's all about.
So TMP Mafia is our program. We started, it kind of just started like the class of 2014 was our takeoff year. But we actually started in like 2012. And it was myself and some people that I grew up with, who were high school football coaches in the Bay. And after football season, none of us were trainers. So now there's a big wave of like trainers, and that's like a big thing, to get a sports gym and bring guys in training. It wasn't that. It was guys after football practice, after school, go in the weight room, lift weights, and they wanted to go on the field and run routes and catch balls and work on their skills. So back then, it was like, hey, football season's over. What can we do? And, like, I was doing, like, AAU basketball.
Like, AAU for football.
So now it's growing into this AAU for football, where every high school, every college, every NFL team, they do 7-on-7. It's a way to develop your skills. It's a way to run routes and perfect your craft. And so back then, my buddy was coaching down at American Canyon, had a buddy at El Cerrito. So we would take like players from some guys from Intercom, some guys from American Canyon, some guys from De La Salle. We had guys from all over different high schools in that first term. And so like we played in like one tournament.
Wow.
Just had one practice, went and played in the tournament. And at my first tournament I went to, I was like, oh, a light struck for me. I was like, AAU basketball, 7-on-7 football, mm-hmm. It's tag, it's not violent. It becomes a little violent when you're with a really good team.
There we go.
But I was like, this is going to be big one day. This is going to be big one day. Believe it or not, we're at that day right now.
Though. I see it.
So we did that, and like our first game, we played against a team from L.A., had a guy named Bryce Triggs. He was like a five-star dude from L.A., and we had like one really good player, ended up going to Fresno State, graduated, Daylon Jones. Shout out, Daylon. We actually had a couple other guys. We had Hardy Nickerson, who's playing in the NFL. But it was just like a fun thing.
Yeah.
Just we got our guys together and we played.
Yeah.
And so after that year, it was like trying to get with my buddies again and like, hey, so who you got this time? And then they just kind of like, their son might have played one more year. And then after that, they were like, it was so hard to get in touch with them. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be out there. We're going to practice. And they just didn't have the same energy and drive to do what I did. So I found more players and I found more people with the same drive as I had, and we developed this team, put this thing together. And the way 7-on-7 works is you can play up to your junior year, play through your junior year. In these tournaments, they don't have any seniors. So it's also a way to help these guys get recruited. And do you get recruited from playing 7-on-7? No, because you don't have on pads. You have to be able to play what you put your pads on, things like that. But what you do get is you get someone to support you. someone, you get another advocate for you, someone to talk to college coaches, someone to help look at your transcript, to break down your transcript. Because believe it or not, everyone thinks that the counselor at my school is going to do my transcript and tell me what I need to get into college. But if you go to a school with 2,300 students, like, what does that caseload look like on that counselor's desk? But no, I don't. So I, as a coach and mentor, I don't have 2,300 students. I have 30, 40, 50 students in my program. And then you put people around you to help you get those transcripts together and things like that. So it becomes a way to help these guys get to college.
Yeah.
So at that point, now we're playing 7-on-7. We're practicing. We're developing skills. We're mentors to these guys. We're helping them understand what it takes to get into college. We're structuring and guiding them on how to navigate through the recruiting process and how to even get into college and what is college. So we're visiting colleges because a lot of the guys in high school, they've never been on a college campus and stuff like that. So we start doing those things, start doing college trips and visiting schools. And so now it became this big pot of gumbo. Mm-hmm. It's what I call it. And so it just continued to grow. The class of 2014, we had about 20-something guys go Division I.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. It became a special thing. It became a household name. It became respected by every college in the country. And my big bro, who's also my mentor, played a real pivotal role in my life. He's now the running back coach at San Jose State. Mm. Alonzo Carter. He was the head coach at Contra Costa Community College in the Bay. One day I took off work. You were at school. I just took off work and I went to his office and I said, man, I have all of these special players in my program. We're playing in these tournaments. These guys, like some of them have 50 offers. They have five stars, four stars, whatever. And I said, what do I do? And he sat me down. He gave me his black book because he was like the godfather in the Bay. He knew every college in the country and he gave me his book, said any card that's a duplicate is yours. Any card that's won, pull out your yellow notepad and write those numbers down. Tell them you're my big brother. Tell them you're the Alonzo Carter of Sacramento and you'll be fine. And you know what? Sit down because I have colleges coming through today. I remember a few guys, Torrey Hunter, he was at Idaho. I remember him coming through. Stacy Searles, I remember him coming through that day. And it gave me a chip on my shoulder and it gave me some power. Because Coach Searles was like a 6'8" offensive line coach from, he was at Texas then. Not sure where he's at now. He's at Miami, he was at Virginia Tech.
Wow.
But he came in and I didn't get up to go shake his hand. I was like, that dude's from Texas. Like, Texas is big time football. There's no reason for me to go speak to him. Like, I'm Coach T from Sacramento. I don't get to talk to the Texas Longhorns, right? They won a national championship a few years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And Coach Carter came over and said, did you go get his card? Did you? I was like, dude, he's from Texas. He was like, get your ass up and go introduce yourself and tell him you have Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon was like the top player in the country at this time.
And he was on TMP?
He was on TMP. He was on my
team. Oh, heck no.
He was on my team.
What?
Joe Mixon is a starting running back for the Cincinnati Bengals right now as we speak. So I got up and he was like, what? Joe Mixon plays for you? He's like, dude, I'm going to his school today. He hasn't answered my call. I'm going to hit him on Twitter. Can you hit him up and tell him I'm coming? I want to offer that dude. So I hit Joe. I was like, hey, Coach Cyril's coming today, bro. Like, I was like, oh, I also have DJ Calhoun. I have a Darius Pickett. I have CJ Spencer. I have Chris Cisse. I start naming names and he's like, here's my card. Let's talk. Anytime you want to talk, like, hey, you got dudes. Hey. Chest got a little bigger,
mm-hmm.
Shoulders propped out a little bit. I said, I can talk to any fucking coach in the country if I can talk to this dude. So that's what gave me my spark. We had those 20-some guys go D1. Some guys weren't even like playing in tournaments with us, but they were like, Coach, you got the juice. Tell them I'm part of TMP. I want to go to school. So that's how we got those numbers to start growing and growing and growing. And it just became a thing. Like, if you're a guy, we want to play with TMP. Other teams start popping up and they wanted to structure their team like TMP. Mm-hmm. Like, to compete with them, we got to have dudes. We got to go. We got to help with recruiting. So we became the basis for other programs.
Yeah.
So.
And what do you think? I mean, obviously, the fact that there's other teams, there's a slight sense of maybe competition, but also the fact that you're inspiring other people to go out there and do that.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
So what do you think, like, I want to know, how did you build such a winning culture with so many great players? Because, mm-hmm. yeah, you have amazing players, and it attracts a lot of amazing coaches and amazing schools. How did you build such a winning culture with all these different minds and attitudes and people from all different walks of life?
Just give them real life stories and talk to them about the inspiration for me wanting to build something special and to be something special. And for me, it was my brother Parrish, who I lost in 2009. I raised him. I grew when we lost our mom. Like, he was a early teenage kid. He was 13 years old. So me raising him, and then in 2009, he had caught pneumonia, passed away. Mm-hmm. His daughter was 6 months old, and mine, she's 10. It's my Aww. Baby right now. So I wanted to build something special in his honor. Because when I went to the dark place and didn't want to do anything else, his spirit just made me grow. And what made me grow from that and feel special was he was the assistant to the Speaker of the House at the state capitol.
Whoa.
Jeez. Yeah, so when he was writing bills and creating laws and things like that, and one of the things he did was he made it so that all community colleges in California went green. When he would visit community colleges with his boss, there weren't any recycle bins or anything on campus. So he wrote a bill to create that. Mm-hmm. So he also did another bill that allowed for high school students to get summer jobs at the state capitol. So he was helping guys in college. He was helping guys build careers and the future. And so in his honor, I just saw a way to help grow young men, to help them structure their future and be strong people and give back and be something special. And so that was really just when I start talking to players around me about those things and saying, hey, this is an honor to be in this program because this program is an honor. It gives them something special to be involved in.
Yeah. And people just want to be a part of something.
They want to be a part of
something.
They
like the community. They like the culture. They yes. like the type of people that they can be around, the support that they can have. I love that. And the fact that you literally built something from the ground up
yes.
in such an impactful way.
Yeah.
Based off of... Do people know that? Do a lot of people know?
I try to tell the story. But a lot of people don't know. They just think probably, you know, like 7-on-7 team. And, you know, I try to tell them, like, man, this... Like, bro, we were just one tournament. Now we're playing in 10 tournaments, 12 tournaments a year. We just came from Tampa Bay, Florida last weekend at the Adidas National Championship. Because
that's why you like my stripes.
About 4 years ago, I signed my partnership with Adidas. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, people say we're sponsored. We're not sponsored. But the thing that I liked about Adidas was they said, this is not a sponsorship. This is a partnership. This is a lifetime thing. Like, this is a culture. This is something we're together. You don't work for us. We work together. Like, we grow together. So I have a partnership with Adidas.
I love that. I love that. Oh my goodness. And I also like the fact that you talk a lot about the players and the type of people that you don't push them to be, but you want them to be. You help yes. grow them to be.
Yes.
So what are some of the different things that you really focus in on when you're helping the players and you're coaching them and you're mentoring them? What are some of the key, like, skill sets and type of habits that you help them create and develop in order to be good in school, in sports, and in life? Mm-hmm.
To be able to look people in the eye, to be able to be personable with people, to be able to speak to anyone, to hold yourself to higher court. Those are just some of the simple things we talk about. Because when you're raising kids and stuff like that, did you do your homework? Did you do this? Did you do that? But we try to give them little small things, small goals, and small speeches here and there. And when they don't toe the line the right way, we try to interject in there and say, hey, man, this was an opportunity for you to do this. opportunity for you to do that. And we have to give them chances. Someone gave me a chance. I was a teenage boy. I definitely didn't do everything the right way. I was from the hood. Like, I was in the inner city. Project. You know what I mean? And I like to talk about the project because the project, look at the term, I was part of an experiment to see, you know, how I would adapt to this situation and how I would grow. And I grew. Like, I like to say I'm the Black Rose that grew from the concrete.
I love it.
Definitely was. So, just those different things. Talk to them about my life experiences. And we end up, part of our gumbo is we get kids from all over. Like, we, you know, we may get a kid from Antioch. We have kids from Reno. We have kids from all different areas in Sacramento. We have kids from Oakland. And when those guys get together, they get to talk about their life experiences. One of our biggest moments, like right now, we have player Najee Harris at Alabama, and we have the starting quarterback Ian Book at Notre Dame.
I remember him.
Ian Book.
Najee Harris.
Najee Harris, yes.
He was a freshman, I think, when I first, maybe eighth grade.
Yeah, yes.
Yo.
Yes.
Alabama. That's crazy.
Alabama, yeah.
I could already tell, like, he was already, like, an amazing player.
Yeah, he was a polarizing
guy.
That's
crazy.
Great personality. But when you take, like, Najee, who's from Antioch, and you take Ian Book,
who's from
El Dorado Hills, and you blend them together, they're going to talk about different things. Their experiences are different. And so that's what a gumbo is really all about, when you get different people doing different things, talking about different things, and have different walks of life. Because my walk of life is somewhat different than my coaches and my other coach, but we all have one common ground, and we're right here in this together, and something makes us stick. Like, for example, one of my coaches, Coach John, one of his other best friends is David. My cousin Dave, and my cousin Dave is married to my cousin Rashida. Yamina
okay.
Rashida, his sister, brother. Yeah. So he introduced me to John.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, man, he's in Sacramento. You don't know this guy. He's coaching with the Junior Tigers. Mm-hmm. You need to know him. He's doing this and that, and it's what you do, cuz. So changed phone numbers, called him. That day we went to, like, a college bowl game and just talked and hit it off, and he's one of my key figures with my program. Like, he's one of my brothers now. Like, you know what I mean? And it was just because someone threw me another branch for my tree.
Mm-hmm.
Believed in what we were doing, threw me a branch, you know what I mean? And then when Dave's son, Dave and Yamina, not Rashida, Dave and Yamina.
We won't let her hear this. We won't let her hear this one.
When Dave and Yamina's son, Jordan, became high school guy, Quick came, played in our program. You know what I mean? It was just like, that's what gumbo is all about. Now we're like people with inherent connections, family members, and people that I grew up with. Like, right now in my program, one of my players, his dad and me, we played youth baseball together at 5 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And now he's in my program.
That's insane.
Yeah, like that's, so that's crazy. A special thing to me.
It's such a small world. But it also shows the type of credibility and what you've built.
Yes.
Like, that's crazy.
Crazy.
That's insane. And it kind of brings me to this question, because I am always curious, because you've created a lot of success stories. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on again, and you have tons of connections, and you have everything that a kid would need to be mm-hmm. successful in their own respects,
right.
Period. Whether it be life skills, whether it be a scholarship, yeah. whether it be a connection, whatever it may be. Why do you think that some kids fall through? Why do you think that some kids don't get to that level that they know they can get to? What do you think messes that up?
Some people just have different drives. I don't necessarily believe in luck, but their walk just didn't match up with their stride. It just didn't match up. Every now and then, there's some things that go wrong. Most of it is their drive and their ability and their desire. A lot of them think they have the same desire of what it takes to be successful, but they really don't. One thing that's been sticking out for me lately is I hit up my buddy. He was a receiver coach in the Pac-12, and now he's a coach in the SEC. And I asked him, like, hey, what is it like out there, man? How you doing? And he was like, I love the receiver room I'm in. Like, it's different, man. These guys want to be special. I don't have to whoop them into shape. He said, I have three guys in my program that have never had a PlayStation. So he says their drive and their desire to be great is different. And most people say, hey, man, these guys are student athletes. They have to be a student first. But guess what? Those kids aren't students first. They are students, but their way of getting out is probably playing football. And if that doesn't fail, we also still have to teach them the skill to be able to go in a different walk. But their best chance probably isn't the education. It's football. So you don't have to whip them into shape in the same ways that you have to do some of the other ones, because these guys want to be special. They yeah. want to get out.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They've wow. been sticking with the legs.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And that's why I was kind of curious, too, because, you know, obviously not everyone's going to make it to that next level. You have a lot of people that have, but it's like the different skills that you teach them to be able to be successful in their own respects. And you're right, sometimes the drive doesn't match, the walk doesn't match the stride. Mm-hmm. But you do your best to be able to kind of help them along their way.
Without a doubt.
And get them to that next level.
I'm wrapping my own I need to get out right now. Let me get out right now.
I feel like you'd always be able to do that all the time, though, with the new program that you guys got. I'm mad.
Let me go.
But, geez. Okay, well, that's cool. So, I want to know, because you guys have built a huge name for yourself, and I'm sure you guys play against some of the best teams in the country.
Some of the best teams in the country.
You love it. It's been within only less than 10 years.
Yeah, less than 10 years.
That's crazy.
For sure.
I want to know, where do you see TMP going in the upcoming years? And what's, like, I don't want to say your ultimate vision, because it's always going to get bigger.
Right.
But what are some of the things that you see happening?
I want to be able to help more guys. Like, this year we started a franchise in Stockton. Mm-hmm. So we have a TMP 209. Okay. I had someone hit me up from Florida after we played them in a tournament, and they were interested in starting a branch there. I want to be able to do those things. I want to be able to give as many opportunities as possible,
yeah.
And still be protective and still keep a solid brand and things like that. But I want to be able to give people opportunities. I want to be able to grow. I want to be able to. I know that the game of football is changing. Like, they don't want the big hits anymore. They don't want some of those things. So I want to be able to give younger guys an opportunity to play as well. Flag football or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 okay. grades, 12-year-olds. I want to be able to teach them a game of football in a safe, professional environment. Those are my things. Like, I'm not, I don't want to, like, go build some warehouse where we're just training kids every day. But I want to be able to be there with an opportunity for as many people as possible.
Yeah.
But if some donor wants to come in with the resources for a big warehouse, I'd do that too. Hey, holla at me. Coach T at TMPElite.com. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we could do that too.
So how do you build and find the resources to continue to grow TMP? How does someone do that? Especially, I don't know how the whole process works of building mm-hmm. something of this nature, but mm-hmm. I love learning about it, because it's inspiring, and you're helping people and you're making an impact.
Right.
How do you build this, get it out, build the brand, keep it, keep it ethical, mm-hmm. and do it all with limited resources sometimes?
Put yourself around good people. When you put yourself around good people, people start to show you different avenues and help you grow. And I work 2, 3, 4 jobs and have other little small things that I do that help, my resources. And I'm able to just put those resources back into the program and give us opportunities. And we've been lucky so far, just having good people around us who help us out and things like that. And we have some NFL guys now. Hey, don't be afraid to give back, bro. We gave it to you, so go ahead and give it back. I'll let your boy. Hey, Coach D at TMP. And the phone number, hey, you know the number's still okay, the same too, you know what I mean? Just reach out and holler at me, man. If you want to get to know us and get to know about the program, holler at your boy, Coach T at TB Elite. Jip.
Okay, so you have people from all different walks of life, NFL players, coaches, just people that want to help.
Yeah, business owners and everything like that. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to grow in those ways as well, like to continue to meet more people. I have a sit down like next week, early next week, with one of the top players in the NFL who we had an inherent connection.
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch people. Marcus Peters, what's up, boy? Any of those guys, like they want to be able to give opportunities to inner city guys.
Okay, like I'm sorry, I'm just mind blown. Like, how the hell did you build this network? How did you build? And you didn't just build a network; you built like the elite network, like that. Like, you have a huge network.
Just growth, the growth, and hard work, and people take notice.
Yeah,
people take notice, and I just like to call it that gumbo thing, man. Like, people like, hey, throw him in there. Hey, what about him? Throw him in there. And just try to be around the right people. You know, they say, you know, the saying, like, you know, I mean, you're only as good as the top of the three people you put around you. So I try to keep going up and up and up and up with the people who are around. And then, you know, people come around me and then like, hey, let's go see this person. And people keep throwing people in there and stuff like that. And it's crazy because we talked about like those NFL people and stuff like that, is they are interested in some of the same things. And they, the Marcus Peterses and the Marshawn Lynch and Joe Mixon and Adarius Pickett and all of these different guys, they want to see the people who came from where we came from. They want to see them grow. They want to see them be successful. They want to give these young guys as many opportunities as possible. So they speak about those things like, you know, charter schools and like, how do we keep these guys doing positive things during the off season? So that's what we sit down and talk about.
Yeah.
Not about their finances, not about the kids play, any of those things, but how do we do that? And, you know, so that's just kind of how we hit it off and how we bond and we grow. And football, we all love football. Football is just the way to get us all to the table.
Yeah, I feel like the program is just that platform that allows you to make the biggest impact, like be able to share a message with people, to be able to help others develop and become like world-class individuals that will make a difference and hopefully pay it forward.
That's what it's about.
In the way that they've been helped. So that's awesome. What it's about.
Cool. Armani Watts, we got to shout you out too, man. Kansas City Chiefs, boy.
Yeah, I'm saying like he could literally like, you could go on forever with all the different types of people that you've helped. And I'm about to ask you, where can these people find you? But I think you kind of already told them. But hey, if you have another platform that you're heavy on.
www.tmpelite.com.
Okay.
It's under construction, always under construction. Got too many things I'm doing, but I got to give the data to the computer guy. But really, 916-308-7181. Holler at your boy. My number the same. I ain't running from nobody. You can reach me right there. And it's like all over social media anyway. Hit me on Twitter, Coach T at TMP. Anything TMP Elite, TMP Mafia, you can find us. And if you want to get down, you want to bring your kid into our program, we're right there. And we don't cut anybody. We grow people. We grow people. We want to help develop people, things like that. And if you want to have a great, well-balanced young man and they can play football, holler at TMP.
Love it. All right. Thanks again for being on the podcast. Thanks again for being on the podcast.
Hey, well, we got to thank you. Like, you actually were one of our team managers, like, who came through that stuff. And so we're there, like, in our growing stages. And I remember the graduation party. We came to Justice's.
I remember.
Graduation party.
And Edward Ware.
And Edward Ware. Mm-hmm. Ed's birthday was about 2 weeks ago. Still talk to these guys.
That's crazy.
Justice's mom gave me two tickets for the national championship game.
Wow.
So I was, her two tickets enabled me to bring two other people. So we had about 10 people at the game.
Wow.
We had different ways and different people to get tickets. And Justice is grad transferring from Harvard. Yeah, we got a Harvard grad in May. and he's going to Vanderbilt.
Wow.
Which is, you know, the Stanford of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. You know, so and then from there we're going TMP to the NFL. Shout out to Justice Mosley.
Oh my god. I love it. That's funny. I actually saw them not too long ago, like during winter break. So that was cool to be able to see them. It's been too long. That's what I'm saying, like too long. But I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you do, and just the type of inspiration that you provide so many people alongside just people that are into athletics and things of that nature. I mean, you inspire me so much, and I'm not even involved in sports.
I see. We can get you back around. And, and it's not even just only football and young men and things like that, because my other niece, Raven Enriquez, she's a football team manager, equipment manager at San Jose State. Mm. Her mom sent me a picture today of her at practice at San Jose, and she was out there in the middle. Tiaja, who another student who came through Intercom, works at UCLA in the recruiting office. Wow. Things like
that. Oh, I remember her.
So,
yeah.
So we've done those things right there. Also connected just even our female students. Coaches come around and we're like, hey, this person works with us, this person does this, does that, and they want good people to be around them.
Yeah.
And so we even help young ladies get involved and come be a team manager for TMP and end up going D1 yourself, get that scholarship.
There we go.
Get that funding to help pay for school. We just want to grow.
Yeah.
Want to grow. We don't have any limits. Hey, I'm no Master P for Richmond too. No limit soldier.
he got the names, okay? It's obvious you got the network. It's clear. It's a fact.
Yeah, let's keep it
so again, anything TMP Elite, anything TMP Mafia, you can find them. You can find everyone and anything. So thank you again for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Hey, this was special.
Was it?
This was big. B-I-G.
Love it. Yeah. Awesome. Yes. All right. Thanks again, and we'll see you guys on the next podcast.
We will do it again.